Good day. Praise Yahweh. Praise Him. Praise Yahusha, the Messiah. I'm Stefan. Today we're going to be covering about global warning. Prophecy in Daniel chapter 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll have a prayer from Luke chapter 10. And we're going to be beginning with Luke chapter 12. So Daniel 12 and Luke 12. This is a power chapter, but and come out of her, my people, and partake not of her sins. Be separate, saith Yahweh. That was the sound of Keith Green from the album Asleep in the Light back in the 1970s. Ah, Keith Green, the late Keith, great pianist. Great classical music. Luke chapter 12, then, and this message of global warning. Luke chapter 12. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, inasmuch as they trod one upon another, Messiah began to say unto his disciples, or his emissaries, first of all, beware you of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that should not be revealed, neither hid that there should not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness, shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear and closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that murder the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Oh, now there's real global warming for you. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before Yahweh? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, and that's the Messiah speaking here, speaking especially to you messianics, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the messengers of Yahweh. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the messengers of Yahweh. That was Luke 12:9 there. Continuing, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Ruach HaKadosh, or the separated spirit, or the pure spirit, commonly called the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. It shall not be forgiven. Him that blasphemeth against the Ruach HaKadosh shall not be forgiven. And I'm not going to go through each and every section here and explain every passage. It's not a verse-by-verse study, but we are going through Luke 12 and Daniel 12 today, plus others. So verse 11, when they bring you into the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say. For the Ruach HaKadosh shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. We'll take a pause there at verse 12. Then verse 19 is next here. This is Luke 12, a power chapter. Don't ignore it. Many are turning away from the New Testament. Some of the Arian teachings, some of the Jehovah's Witness teachings have come through now in the Messianic circles. I am seeing more and more of that, where they depart from the reading of the Brit Kadashah, the New Testament, so-called New Testament, and dealing mostly back in Genesis, and back there in Sunday school and kindergarten. Too much knowledge puffeth up. You know, you try to take me on and ask me the ancestry after Abraham and or before, you know, I think you could beat me up to death. I can't do it that well. I've read it over and over hundreds of times and memorized it, but I just cannot remember all the genealogies because it has no application to my life. But these scriptures do. They will, they're all Yahweh's word, of course. I'm not going to minimize any of Yahweh's word, but this inspires us to move on to higher heights and into deeper depths with Yahweh, and go to higher ground with Yahweh. Yes, that's the main thing. We don't want to just get a whole bunch of knowledge and know a whole bunch of names and religious information necessarily. That's good. It's good to memorize Hebrew and to recite the Shema forward and backwards and know that that prayer when they break bread. Now in the Messianic circles, they break bread there and drink the wine. And I knew that prayer, but it seems like we all struggle. And reading the Hebrew part and then to the English. If we knew all of this, the Shema and that prayer, and we've gone to Jerusalem 20 times, does that make us any more spiritual? Do we get any closer to Yahweh? That memorized prayer there, I'm not even so sure that we should always be saying the same prayer that is a concocted prayer. Verse 19, and now we're going to sweep all that we're going to shove into overdrive here and put on the seat belts and in the hot seat. Okay, verse 19. And I will say to you, my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But Yahweh said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? In other words, all those accumulations. You've been down there to Walmart and so on, and picked up more and more and more possessions for the backyard, the front yard. How many cars and boats and ATVs and fishing reels and computers and all that stuff, you know. Messiah said, who shall take over these things when you go? You know, your house, your wife, your house, your car, that Cadillac out there. Who's going to care about it? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward Yahweh? And he said unto his emissaries, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and Yahweh feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? So much for James Dobson and the doctrine of self-esteem. Although we don't want you to have the doctrine of low esteem either. We don't want high or low self-esteem. Here on the 12th chapter of Luke, I'm Stephan Yah from YahvahYahweh.name. Which of you with taking thought can add to a stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why do you take thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, nor spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then Yahweh so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not that which what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, neither be you of doubtful mind. That was Luke 12:29 there. Seek not you which you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. So we're all worried about all that, you know, eating and drinking and which possessions we ought to buy. Verse 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. Yes, those are your needs there, your clothing and your food. So he's going to provide for you there, as he does the birds out there. We don't want to be of doubtful mind and go doubting all about Yahweh's word and whether he even exists, and doubting the creation evolution issue. We don't want to have a lot of doubt. We know that it didn't all just happen with a big bang. All of this out of nothing, something out of nothing. It's impossible. So we know we are created. We created by the Someone, by Yahweh. Verse 31, but rather seek you the kingdom of Yahweh, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's the same as Matthew 6:33, the Sermon on the Mount. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, huge megachurch, but fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fail not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your light's burning, and you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. I'll go ahead and use that word Lord there, even though Baal means Lord. But in this instance, I think it's legitimate here. You yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, or Master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that you shall gird him, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. So that's a typifying our Messiah, the Son of Yah. Yes, that he is actually going to gird himself and make you, make me, to sit down to meat, and he'll come forth and serve me. He's going to serve you. He'll serve you first, and then me. Verse 38, and if he shall come in the second watch, so second watch, what time is that one? 9 o'clock at night. Is that right? Second watch, no, I don't. But or come in the third watch. Oh, okay, third watch is midnight. So if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. Now, those of you who don't think that you're supposed to protect your family, like me, I didn't have any weapon for 60 years. And thankfully, nothing happened to my family. But what would I have done if somebody had broken in? Now, listen here about weapons in verse 39. This is not a text proof that everybody should own a handgun or a big machine gun or something, a Browning rifle. But anyway, listen, and this know, that if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. That's good to be reasonably prepared there. Use your head. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not. So some say that Yahushua the Messiah is coming on the Feast of Trumpets in this or that year or some year. Probably, or actually it's possible that he could come in the next 20 years or so. This program, a brand new program now recording in the year 2013 today. So, you know, it could be that we're very, very close to the second coming, to the last of the last days. Whew! Isn't that an awesome thought? I'm so excited. Of course, if he doesn't come in the next 20 or 30 years, it won't matter to me anyway, because I'll either be way too old and my brain won't work at all, or I'll be gone. I'll be in the grave. Verse 40, therefore, be ready also, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not. Then Peter said unto him, Yah, well, what are we going to substitute there in the King James for the L-O-R-D? Why don't we put Master in there, okay? That's legitimate. Peter said unto him, Master, speak thou this parable unto us, or even to all of us. And the Messiah said, Messiah is speaking here, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, whom he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But and if that servant say in his heart, my master delays his coming, master, a better choice of words there, it's not the perfect choice, but my master delays his coming, and should begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken. The master of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. A lot of symbolism here, speaking of the great judge and master, the Messiah. And that servant which knew his master's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So there's the doctrine of greater punishment. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. There's lesser punishment happening there. He shall be beaten with fewer stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to him, or rather, to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. If you have studied well, studied the scriptures, the Torah, and gone through Exodus, and Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and all the way to Revelation and chapters that are applicable to your life, of how you live, how you walk, walking with Yahweh and walking with Yahusha, his son, then you will be well equipped and you'll be prepared. We need to be prepared because the second coming could be at any time. Verse 48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes, for unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much of him they will ask the more. I am come to send love on the earth. Did he say that? No. Oh, no. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I? What will I if it be already kindled? Messiah said, but I have a baptism to be immersed with, and how am I straitened till it all be accomplished? Suppose you that I come to give peace on earth? Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. You know, that old heathen season song. Do you suppose that I come to give peace on earth at this time? I tell you, no, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. Verse 53 is next, and I never thought that this could apply to my household, but I think in a manner it actually did. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And when he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there comes a shower, and so it is. Usually you look out to the west, and that's where your next weather will come from. Verse 57, yes, and why even of yourselves judge you not what is right? And that's about the end of the chapter. There's two more verses there if you wanted to finish that up, but we'll stop at verse 57 in Luke chapter 12, part of the global warning message here. Daniel 12, two verses. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that should be found written in the book. I think that'd be the book of life there. Also read Jeremiah 30 concerning that same scenario. So, and talking about national sin, the national sin of sodomy in the United States and mostly around the world as well. We are responsible for some of those national sins of the people about us, if we are responsible for not restraining. For he who restrains is taken out of the way. Oh, yes, that could be you. So be a restraining force where you can, but don't be a fool. Daniel 12, verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Also see Hosea 13, 14, and Isaiah as well. I think it was Isaiah 26 or 27, there, and many other places about the resurrection. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Don't be asleep in the light, like Keith Green was singing there a while back. We're about 26 minutes into the podcast. Verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then you can read on there till pick it up at verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Yeah, it's exciting when the end times come around. If you have any doubt, just wait. And if these end times really do start happening at a great thundering staccato quick rate, in other words, then you'll have even more proof that the scripture is true. All this prophecy is finally coming to pass right before your eyes and ears. And isn't it an exciting time to be living in? Verse 11, "And from the time that the daily offering shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there should be 1,290 days, or 3,534 days, if you wanted to do the math on that. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." Daniel, who is in the grave, as well as David. David's in the grave, it tells us in over there in Acts chapter 2, by the way. So a little message there of warning. A global warning message is being put out by quite a few ministries. Then, we also have Thessalonians. Don't forget that one goes right along with the message today. So let's turn forward and back and so on until you find Thessalonians, a real long word there. It's before Timothy. It's written by Paul. And I'm reading from the King James Version here on YahvehYahweh.name. YahvehYahweh.name. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of Yahweh comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, and that day should overtake you as a thief, because, you know what's going on. And you know what the scripture says. You've read the book. You've read the rest of the story," Paul Harvey said. And Thessalonians 5:5, "You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep." Don't sleep in the light. "Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love." That's kind of like Galatians there, the breastplate of righteousness. But this is the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For Yahweh has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by Yahusha, Messiah, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also you do. And it says later in verse 17, "Pray without ceasing, and despise not prophesyings." Verse 21, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil." We just can't read this enough. Luke 10, let's start at verse 1. "After these things, Yahweh appointed other 70, the 70 emissaries, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, that Yahweh of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Let's go back now to Luke chapter 9 for the last couple of verses there. Luke 9, and it's verse 59 and 60. "And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Master, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Messiah said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of Yahweh. And another also said, Master, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Messiah, he said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of Yahweh. That's the end of chapter 9, Luke chapter 9. A little bit of regret there. We don't want to be looking over our shoulder back and regretting things that we can't do anything about now. What would have been, could have been, should have been, are those are thoughts of doubt that just are not going to get us anywhere ahead in Yahuwah's kingdom. Let's also pick up today. We're going to pick up some scriptures that and sort of review somewhat here in our broadcast a couple of weeks ago in the podcast. We talked about those minoring in kindergarten and Sunday school there, over-studying Genesis, always concentrating on the children in the desert there in the wilderness or something, you know, about that. Passover, well, it's a great message, especially in that time of year around Passover. And then we said that sin is a reproach to any nation, Proverbs 14:34. And we read from 1 John chapter 3, the sin, he who sins is of the devil, it says in 1 John 3:8. And not just somebody who inadvertently falls into sin, inadvertently falls into temptation, or is overcome continually by temptation and is just not able on their own power to overcome that sin. But if they're praying to overcome it, I think that's different. That's a different attitude there. And then 1 John chapter 5, it talks about love is keeping the commandments of Yahweh. It defines what love is obedience in not just a, you know, oh, we everybody must obey. We must all conform. Not just that, not just the letter of the law, but also walking by the spirit of the law so that Yahweh will keep the law within our hearts and that we could keep his covenant, his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, which includes his Sabbath and feast days. For it says there, whosoever, in verse 4, whosoever is born of Yahweh overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Yahusha, Messiah, is the Son of Yahweh? This is he that came by water and blood, even Yahusha, Messiah, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now that doesn't mean that, you know, we just hear by the Spirit and neglect the Word, that overrides what the Word literally says. No, that's your own interpretation. That's my private interpretation. That doesn't belong there. But we need the Spirit of truth is the Word of Yahweh. And then there's a part that was added to many scriptures here, verse 7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Ruach HaKadosh. Oh, that's not the part that was added. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Ruach HaKadosh, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of Yahweh is greater. For this is the witness of Yahweh, which he has testified of his Son. He that believes on the Son of Yahweh has the witness in himself. He that doesn't believe Yahweh, he that believeth not Yahweh has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that Yahweh gave of his Son. And this is the record, or the testimony, and this is the testimony that Yahweh has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of Yahweh has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of Yahweh, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of Yahweh. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. No, that's not a name-it-and-claim-it scripture there, that we can just ask for anything at all that's in our heart, that our old former carnal hearts, our partially converted heart. And then he talks about, there's a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin that is not unto death. But we know that whatsoever is born of Yahweh sins not, or whosoever is born of Yahweh. And if any man, in verse 16, if any man sees his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. So here's a verse that says that we are responsible for our brother, even if he attends a different place, a certain denomination. They say, well, leave me alone. I go to the other church across the street. You don't have any right to tell me that my sin is wrong. Well, are we our brother's keeper here? It says here that in 1 John that we are. And verse 19, we know that we are of Yahweh, and the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that the Son of Yahweh is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Yahushua HaMashiach. This is the true Yahweh and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Oh, that's the one thing that we don't have to do. We can ignore that, right? No, the very last word in 1 John is, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Hallel Yahuwah. May Yahuwah keep you. Hallel Yahuwah. May Yahuwah love you. Through his Son, Yahushua HaMashiach.